Hello, welcome to the Creative Writing Life podcast. I'm Justin Sloan.
And I'm Paul Zeideman. Justin, I will let you have the honor this week of introducing our guest.
Hello. Today we are talking with Troy Lambert of Plotter. Troy, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Amazing. As always. How about you, Paul?
I'm also good. Everything's fine and copacetic over here.
Cool. I figured I was answering for you. So all is great. Yeah. So Troy comes to us from Plotter, which I have played with briefly, but we're going to leave to him to explain. But first, let's talk about our recommendations this week, like we always like to do. I've been watching, I was trying to find the exact name of it just now, and it wasn't succeeding. Was it The English? Have you guys seen The English?
I've heard of it. That's on a streamer, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's on Amazon Prime. For some reason, it wasn't popping up when I was trying to do it. I feel like half of these streamers are so bad at like pulling up your recently watched, because I literally was watching it this morning. So why is it not there? I don't know. But I've been enjoying it. The scenery is beautiful, just like 1883, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. That's Western with beautiful scenery. And that one's just amazing. Taylor Sheridan. It's just like watching a poem unfold on the screen, as I like to say. This one is also quite fun and well done. If you compare the two, I'd feel like that's mean because I loved 1883 above all else, but I am enjoying this one quite a lot. What do you got, Paul?
Well, real quick, what's The English about? I mean, it's not Emily Blunt, is it?
Yes. And it is. Okay. Yeah, it is. And it's, I don't have a good pitch for it, but basically she's a badass. She came to the US, you know, during those Wild West times, and is looking for something, and I'm not sure what it is yet, but she's killing people and it's crazy. She's a badass archer. And she kind of partners with / falls in love with a Native American guy who served the US Army and believes he should have land entitled to him, but of course everybody's racist and jerks and they say no, and so it's their journey.
That's my pitch. It sounds very interesting. I have slowly been working my way through the Netflix queue. I watched a film. I've only seen snippets of it many times over the years, but finally sat down to watch the whole thing. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Very appropriate for this week. I can see why it's endured so much. It's a very silly in parts, but you know, it moves very nicely. I like the way it's written. John Hughes did a great job with it. And Steve Martin and John Candy are both impeccable in their lead roles. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Sure. And the other one was also continuing on my World War II movie kick, a film from HBO called When Trumpets Fade. You know, it's interesting that watching films like from before, I guess you'd call it like from before the apocalypse now to Saving Private Ryan era, they're all very like someone gets shot, they just go and they just fall over. But in everything after that, you see like the squib and the blood pack explode, and it's very graphic. And this kind of fell into that latter category. But it was a good movie. I mean, I enjoy a good World War II movie, and this definitely was among those. It was really enjoyable in its own way.
Awesome. Troy, you got anything for us? Recommendations, books, videos?
Oh my goodness. So first of all, I have to spin off of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles because it's one of my favorite movies. I used to make my kids watch it every year at Thanksgiving. But another Thanksgiving favorite is called Dutch. It's with the guy from Married with Children. But anyway, it's a fantastic, just a spoof of this guy going to pick up his stepson from school, and his stepson doesn't like him, and it's about their journey across the country to get back home, and it's just a riot. It's hilarious. But right now I've been watching The Peripheral. As far as series are concerned, I think that's on Apple TV. I believe it's on Apple TV or Amazon Prime. I can't even keep them straight, but it's kind of a great sci-fi post-apocalyptic thing. But actually, the last few days, what I've been watching is World Cup soccer. So I can highly endorse that, even though the U.S. just tied it up with Wales and it's probably going down. But, you know, that's kind of been my prediction anyway. So we'll see what happens.
Sure. There we go. Sure. Cool. All right. Let's get into it. So, Troy, we just both got back from 20 Books Vegas and had a blast. But we're mostly here to talk about Plotter. So let's start there. And if we feel like we want to talk about Vegas, we'll throw it in.
There you go.
But first, give us a little bio of who you are.
So I'm a freelance writer, author, and editor. I've been writing full-time since 2009. So I've seen a few changes in the industry, you could say. And I've written over 25 novels, and that's just climbing. It'll be actually over 30 by the end of the year, but I just always say over 25 at this point because I get tired of updating numbers. And I've been kind of taking a different tack with my career recently, but mostly I write mysteries and thrillers, and I've written some romantic comedies under a pen name, and I also do some ghostwriting. So I've done all kinds of writing. And in the freelance world, I've done technical writing for the federal government, stuff like that. So pretty exciting and some pretty boring stuff along the way.
Nice. And how did you get in with Plotter?
So that was actually one of those completely accidental things that has pretty much, been my career. And it was pretty much that when Plotter first came out, in 2017, the creator of it, Cameron Sutter, had just created it for his own writing. And he decided, well, I might as well sell it. So I was at a writer's conference. My friend came out of the dealer's room, said, hey, there's this great software in here and you have to buy it. And I was kind of like, oh, I do? And went in, grabbed it, because they had some ridiculous sale on it at the time. It was super cheap. I immediately saw the visual way you could outline things. I thought, man, that seems like a good idea for me. Can I have cork boards and whiteboards all over my office? And so I bought it. Well, my friend who also bought it was a software tester, and he sent him 8 bugs the next morning because he just clicked through menus and found things that were wrong. And so suddenly Cameron said, all right, who are you guys? And like, what's happening with these two guys that came and bought my software? And so I said, well, I'm a writer, and Jim's a software tester and a writer. And we stayed in touch, and I kept telling him different features I wanted and stuff like that. Well, when Plotter did their big relaunch in 2020, when Ryan Z, who we were talking about before, when he joined the team and especially amped up the marketing, he said, hey, you do lots of stuff for Plotter, right? And I'm like, yeah, I love Plotter. It's a great program. And he said, well, you want to get paid for it and even reach even more people? And I said, sure, I'm in. And that's basically how I started actually officially working for Plotter. But I was one of the first 100 people in the country besides the guy who created it to use it. So.
Really cool. Yeah, I mean, oh, good. I muted myself for a second to sneeze and I had to make sure I'm back. But yeah, it looks really not expensive. So that's exciting. Oh, I see there's lifetime and annual prices. But one question I had to go for you guys before we like dive in too far. Does this have any, are you guys, maybe you can't talk about it, but have you guys talked about working with Pseudowrite or any of the AI software out there? Or does this already have any kind of functions like that?
I don't know that we've talked to any of the AI software. We do integrate with quite a few different softwares. So we integrate with Scrivener pretty seamlessly, actually back and forth. Now you can export and import from Scrivener. And we are talking about a pretty extensive integration with Atticus, which we don't have a lot of details on at the moment, other than it's in the works. So,
okay, cool, cool, cool. All right, so let's get into Plotter. So what is it? What is the spiel? If I was going to...
That was going to be my question, because you're talking about Plotter and how it started. I'm like, wait, did I totally miss like what it is?
No. We're going there. I just had that burning question I needed to know, because I've recently got into the AI stuff. So, okay. But yeah.
Troy. Well, and I love the AI stuff. I really do love some of the potential there. And obviously, we don't want to go down that road too far. But Plotter is essentially is it's not a writing software. It's an outlining and planning software. But it's extremely visual. So if you think of like obviously we're audio, so it's hard to have people visualize it. But it's like a visual corkboard that you can move around scene cards, what we call scene cards, which would basically be like your post-it notes that you stuck up on your whiteboard back in the day and moved them around. Or like in my case, I would draw massive arrows going different directions to try to explain to my brain where I was trying to move things. In this case, you can just do that with software, super easy. But in addition to that, it has a series Bible functionality where essentially you can contain a whole series and any outlines and plot lines you've created for those, any characters, settings, all those different kinds of things, all in one place. So essentially, I have one series that will eventually be 50 books, and I have probably 17 of them in a single Plotter file. All of my outlines, characters, details, information, research, and everything is all in one file, all in one place. So if I need to look back at something that happened in book 2, it's super easy. So there's that aspect of it as well, along with the integrations into you can export your software, your outline and get writing. The other big thing that we have, though, is we have several plot structure templates and character templates to help people like understand the pacing of their story, spot plot holes, you know, and just better understand story structure. You can go through and study templates and just get a better understanding of story structure and how it works, or how to develop characters, things like that. And that's where we've geared our education program towards, is teaching people, going from, hey, maybe I know how to write a little bit, to, hey, now I really know something about story structure and character development and plot development and all those different kinds of things. So it's essentially a tool that helps you in that initial part of the process.
Yeah. And is it mostly like, I go in, like, you have, I'm looking at one of the videos right now as you talk, that's on the docs.plotter.com, and it's like a little video showing, and you can pull up the romance template and then it populates like the main beats in there. And then I imagine it also has some examples that you can go in and see. I think I remember this from trying it a long time ago. Right. Is that right?
Okay. Correct. It has some examples. And if you tried it a long time ago, so a long time ago, we probably had, well, when we first started out, shoot, I think we had 6 plot structure templates. We've got over 30 now.
Oh, nice.
So it's highly likely that you'll find one that works for you and your particular story. I use different ones for different stories, depending upon, you know, what I'm doing, you know, what's happening with that story, what the genre is, that type of thing. But so there's always something for you. And then we've added over 20 character templates, and it does the same thing. It gives you like some instructions and some examples, so you know, like, how has somebody else used this? And then we have an extensive library on YouTube of basically me and other people interviewing different authors and talking to them about how they use Plotter. So if you go, man, I wonder how this person uses Plotter, well, you can just go on YouTube and find out. And so we've developed a library there that gives people some ideas of, like, these are some different ways you can apply these different, we give you, you know, these tools, and people go, well, what do I do with that? And you say, well, okay, here's some examples of how you might use that.
Yeah, really cool. Paul, did you want to jump in, or should I keep?
Yeah, actually, I was curious. So I'm listening to you describe it. So I'm trying to figure out, I don't have the video in front of me. So do you put in the information and then it kind of distributes it among the story template? Or do you kind of just like, here's the template of how the story works and you apply your information as you go along?
So you can kind of do either. That's what's really interesting. So you can start with a template if you want to.
Okay.
And then kind of add your own information, or I usually add my own information in a separate plot line. So that basically, if I change my mind about which story structure I'm using, I can delete one and put another one in its place and see how things line up. Mm-hmm. So you can either do that beforehand and kind of plan using a plot structure as your guideline, or a lot of people are like discovery writers. They write into the dark, whatever the case may be. They use those templates in their second draft to go, to check their work, essentially. How did I do? Did I hit all the story beats? What does this look like? So they'll have taken their work, however they've done it. They'll either, as they're going along the way, as they're writing, or when they're done, they'll just summarize each scene in a little scene card on Plotter, and then line it up with the plot structure template and say, how did that work? You know, if I wrote into the dark, is this scene something that doesn't belong? And then you see, well, now I have a giant plot hole here where I basically just didn't write that scene, but I probably should at some point. So that type of thing. So it can be used either way, really, just depending upon your style as a writer and what you want to do. I mean, essentially the whole idea is to use it to amplify your writing and to assist your writing ability, and hopefully not to hamper your creativity and make you feel like you're boxed into a story structure. Because that's not, we don't want that at all. The goal of it is a writing tool, and writing tool means I want you to finish your first draft.
So here's a big question. I mean, this happens to me, and I'm sure it happens to pretty much every writer. Okay, so you're working your way through, and then you realize, okay, this isn't working, or, oh my gosh, I forgot to do this, or I want to change this. I want to do a 180 on this one section. Can you go in and just delete a part of what you've already done? I mean, I assume it's not, nothing's written in stone, so to speak.
Yeah, no, nothing's set in stone. You can change anything anytime. And I tell people what I do a lot of times is I have what I plan to write, and mine are generally, it's kind of a mix. It's not a super loose outline, but it's not super tight either. And my scene cards, what they really are is writing prompts. And I write in Scrivener, right? So I'll sit down that day, and this is what I intend to write. But as we all know as writers, that's not always what comes out. Sometimes your characters take a left turn at Albuquerque, and you got to go see if that's the right way to go. And so I'll come back and summarize what I actually wrote on a separate plot line. And then I use all of that information in the revision process and go, okay, should I have stayed on track here? Should I have gone another way? What should I have done? Because I tend to be one that I draft quickly and then I go back and figure out what's wrong. Because otherwise I could spend, you know, those people that do that cycle thing and they cycle back and read, man, that would take me a year to write a book that way. And I can't do that. I have to write faster than that. My wife likes nice things and I clearly like to eat. So, you know, we got to handle that into things. So, yeah.
Okay. No, that really helps. I mean, that kind of clears it up for me. I think it would also require just kind of going into the site and kind of checking things out, just kind of and getting a better idea of it. But I think listening to you explain the basics really helps paint a good picture for it.
Right. Yeah. And there's a trial version that you can go in and try, or you can even do, you know, we have a 30-day money back guarantee, and you sign up and you try it and you go, man, this just doesn't work for me at all. Cool. Just tell us and we'll give you your money back. Because it's the thing about Plotter is it's a fantastic software for a lot of people, but it's not for everyone. Like I tell people anything that somebody tells you that hampers your ability and makes you want to stop writing or hampers your creativity, don't do that. Find another way, find the way that works for you.
Okay. Okay. I have one more question that I'll toss it back to Justin. Okay. I'm on the website now and it says that it is the number one visual book planning software. Now that's great for you and Justin, but I really don't do books. I do screenplays. Now, would I still be able to use it? I'm assuming that, I don't know if you have screenplay templates in it or is it just more of about the story outline?
So it's more about the story outline, but I've seen a lot of screenplay writers use it. And there's a couple of different tricks to that I generally like that, you know, you could maneuver around and you would see different ways to do that, but there's a way to visualize your timeline. So normally your timeline, your different plot lines are up and down, and then your chapters and stuff are across the top. Mm-hmm. A lot of time, but you can flip that. So a lot of screenwriters will flip that, do act 1, act 2, act 3, act 4, whatever they're doing, 3 act 4 act structure, whatever. It doesn't matter to me because it's both of them are the same in my personal opinion, but with a slight differences. But then they have their scenes, their planning of their scenes for each act running down the side. The way Plotter is set up, it's super flexible. So you could do it either way. That's just one thing I've seen that screenwriters generally think that way a little differently. But yeah, it still allows you to plan the story. And then you can, like, you can't export directly from Plotter to Final Draft or something like that yet, right? But you could, there's a pathway through Scrivener. They're working on some kind of, I don't know, again, I don't write code, I write words, but they're working on some kind of integrations with software like that. It is down the road on the roadmap, but you can export to Scrivener. And then from there is a Final Draft export. I don't know how good it is because I don't do that, but I've heard that it works. So there are ways to get your work from one format to the other. And then actually get to writing the screenplay process. But for story planning and like your story Bible stuff, keeping your different characters straight, it would work for that as well. So you betcha you could use it as a screenwriter. Awesome.
That is great to know because I know a lot of screenwriters that sometimes, I mean, I'm one of those writers who outlines like crazy before I even start on the actual pages of my screenplay. But I also know writers who are just like, yeah, I can just start, you know, just kind of like right by the seat of my pants the whole way, which just astonishes me. But so this seems like a great tool, especially for somebody like me who needs to outline before I even start.
Right.
Yeah. So what does it export to right now? You said Scrivener. Does it also export to Word and stuff like that?
Yeah. Scrivener and Word are the two that it exports to right now, that means obviously is that for most other writing programs like LiveWriter, Google Docs, which I hate that, but whatever, if that's your jam, you know, and you want to do Google Docs, that's cool. But all of those, you can, you know, upload a DocX pretty quick and get started. So if the fact that it exports to Word is pretty much then covers a lot of the other software that's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you just copy and paste it into Final Draft or whatever. But it wouldn't be in the exact same format, of course. But so earlier why I asked about the AI stuff too is one thing that I would be interested in is like you can come in here and totally look at your outline here, revise whatever you have in here. And then I totally use the PseudoWrite and those things purely as an outlining tool. So whatever you have here, you just click on expand or other stuff, and then it would just populate more of it. And it seems like a crazy good use of two tools at once. But one question I have is, you mentioned earlier about how some things might serve as roadblocks. Like sometimes I look at these kind of programs and I'm like, oh crap, I'm going to have to spend all this time learning it and figuring things out and playing around in there. Time that I probably would have just been using to write instead. So how has that argument come up before? And like, what is your counter to it? And is there an answer to that?
I counter to it with my experience of Scrivener, which was years ago. So not even Scrivener wasn't even the same as it is now. But anyway, that's because I'm old and so is it. But anyway, so when I first got Scrivener, it was in the middle of Nano, you know, back when I was, you know, pretty relatively young writer and doing Nano. And I went, this is really cool. I opened up during Nano and went, nope, I'm not doing this. I'm in the middle of a book and this looks way too complicated to learn at the moment. And so I just waited. But the one thing that I found with Scrivener even, and then with Plotter, it's the same way. As Plotter is actually, I would say, is more intuitive than Scrivener. It's easier to use than Scrivener. The learning curve is not nearly as steep. Scrivener is like, when you get into the advanced stuff of Scrivener, you got to be pretty solid on your tech skills to do the things you want to do. But you can use the simple features and not use the advanced ones until you're ready. So I tell people to start with Plotter. I'm like, just make an outline with some scene cards and see what happens. Don't try to go, well, I'm going to use 15 different tags and all those different things. Those are really cool and they're great features and they really work well, but start with something simple. Learn that and then build on your knowledge from there. And first of all, you'll be way happier and less stressed out in learning the software itself. And also you won't get caught up in the planning process too much because people do what I call plotcrastination. And essentially they've been plotting their novel for 6 months because they're avoiding writing it. And I'm like, well, that's great. You have a beautiful outline, but that's not the point. Your reader isn't going to read the outline. So the kind of my idea is just always just let go of that need to know everything about the software immediately. Know what you need to know to finish the project you're working with now and build on your knowledge over time. And you'll get to be more of a plotter expert without the need to dive in really deep at first. But on the other flip side of that, it is very intuitive. It's super easy to use. And usually with a few tutorials from the website and stuff like that, you'd be up and running in no time. So for most people, it's super easy.
Awesome. What have you found to be like the most useful part of this? You know, in terms of like, I see these things like timeline, and I'm still basic at this stuff, but like, do most people work in timeline or do they work in the outline phase or is it kind of, or your personal experience, of course, there as well?
So most people work in the timeline and then the characters and places tab. Okay. Some people use the notes tab a little more for research. I tend to use the character or places tabs even for research because, first of all, that's mostly my stories are character and place based. I mean, that's what mysteries are. So I don't have a lot of necessarily research notes that I have dropped in there. But I use the characters and places a lot. And then there's features where you can tag the elements of your timeline on the different plot lines with characters and with places and things like that. So you can filter them by those things and look at them in different viewpoints, which is another thing that I find really helpful for plotting, for spotting plot holes. And so that's I primarily use the timeline area and the outline area for spotting plot holes and preventing what I call writing disasters before they happen. Hopefully I don't write myself into a corner and then somehow have to figure that out. My purpose, my hope is that I write, you know, where I'm not writing myself into a corner or to a position where it's pretty easy to look back at my plot and my ideas and go, oh, that's an easy way out of this, you know, and not get blocked.
Really cool. And something I'm looking at, I'm just scrolling through I go up into the trial as we were talking and I see that's cool. You put the characters in there. And then when you're going through your outline, you're looking at each part, you can hit a little plus and those character names pop up and places, of course, and tags and stuff like that. So you can easily tag who's going to be where. I could definitely see this being really cool to have a writer's assistant who just goes through and does all this stuff for me if I'm ever rich enough for that.
Yeah, it's like a way of adding an extra layer of organization to your outline that you can't otherwise. And then especially in the revision process, it helps you go through and go, did I do, like, just basically check your work. Did I do this right? Did I not do this right? What's happening here? And for me, that's super, super valuable. And the primary reason You know, we talk about, we were both at 20 Books in Vegas last week. And one of the primary things I talked about in our presentation there was, like, I'm not talking about craft here necessarily, although this is a part of craft, of learning your craft, is learning story structure. But for people that are very commercial and business oriented, I'm talking about efficiency, talking about ways to speed up your process so that you can write more and therefore, in the long run, hopefully earn more, provided you're doing everything else correctly.
Yeah, that's what it's all about for a lot of us, is figuring out ways to be more structured and save time and get those books out faster while still having awesome quality. And I could definitely see how this would be useful there. Let's see. I'm looking at right now how it exports. So when it exports, does it include, like, if you included those little tags for character and everything, is there, are they in there as well?
So you can. There's a, under the export, if you look under there, there's an advanced export. So I tell people the way I use export is perhaps unusual, but a lot of people have adopted it when I tell them about it. And the reason is all I export essentially is my outline to Scrivener. So my writing process is like, is I have my Scrivener, which is my writing software, Substitute Word or whatever your writing software is here. And I have that open on one window on one computer, and that's my main computer. And then on the other, my other monitor, my secondary monitor, I have Plotter open to the kit.
Is he still there?
I think he blipped out for a second.
Troy?
I lost for a second, then I came back. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me come back to that really quick and basically say that. So I have Scrivener open, my writing software open on one window, Plotter open on the other, to the characters and places. That's primarily what I use when I'm in the writing process, is those two things. And so what that enables me to do is, if I need to see some characteristic of a character or something about a place that I need to describe in a particular area of my writing, I can look over at my other screen without leaving my writing environment, without even scrolling down in Scrivener to the characters or places or whatever, and check and see, okay, this is this character, that's what color her eyes are, or that's the description or whatever, and put that right into my writing without breaking stride, essentially, without coming out of my focus. And so for me, that makes me faster. So so I do an advanced export, and I only export exactly what I want to be in that external document. Other people, you know, they export everything, and they export it into Word or Scrivener. I especially in Word, I don't export the images. It just makes for a really big file, and I don't think I need the images in Word.
For sure, sure. And one reason I ask is I do a lot of these freelance assignments, kind of like you're talking about ghostwriting. And for a lot of those, they'll want a nice outline up front that includes sometimes even which characters are where and like the relationships between the characters that happen between those chapters, the arcs and all that. So I can see working in something like this and just having to populate a nice, pretty outline would be pretty convenient.
Yeah, it makes a pretty... developing those relationships, then you can export those, and basically your client can see this is exactly what you're doing. And it gives them a more robust outline, more robust idea of, oh yeah, this is what's going on. So it can be very helpful. We have a web app now called Plotter Pro. And if you have that, you can collaborate in real time with somebody over that web app. So they can see what you're changing. You can see what they're changing. So if provided, obviously, that they have Plotter as well, you can literally watch what each other, what you're doing. And so if you're doing collaboration, or you have an editor who uses Plotter, which I use Plotter with all of my editing clients now, with all of them, because I don't give them an option. Because then I can visually show them their story on a plot line and say, see, right there is the plot hole. This is where this doesn't line up. Or this is where your pacing's off. And I can prove it. See, here's why. And that visual thing to them helps them to visualize like where they're at, and they go, oh, you're right. I did miss something there. So super valuable. Makes the editing process faster too.
Yeah, I bet. Last question for me, and I'll see if Paul has some more on this, is so on that note, what you're talking about, like if I went on there, I got a lifetime access to Pro, I would still need whoever I'm working with to have Plotter, I think you just said, but also would they be able to get any version of Plotter? They wouldn't have to have Pro, right? Or would they?
Well, to work collaboratively in the web app, they would have to have Pro, because you'd both have to be able to access that web version, that web portal version. Otherwise, collaborating back and forth, like before we had Plotter Pro, I still collaborated back and forth, but then you're just sending files back and forth, kind of the same as you would with an editor with a Word file. or whatever the case may be.
It says three devices on the one before that. Are you allowed, or would that be against the rules to like have your, if you're always writing with the same person, can that be one of those three devices?
Well, the problem with that is that you would actually share an account. So with the offline version of Plotter, where you have like with Plotter Pro, there's no device limits, right? Because you can access anywhere you can access a browser and the internet, which in our modern world today is pretty much anywhere, right? And you can still work offline, although there are some tricks to that to make sure that you don't mess up your versions, right? Same as anything else. But if you have three devices and you say, well, I want to share one device with my writing partner, well, then you'll both see all of each other's outlines. So if there's work that you're working on that's not collaborative, you'll still see those files. I mean, you could ignore them. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But basically, so that three devices, that's under one account. And that just means that all your files will show up, you know. So if you're sharing that, it could be kind of awkward at times. Yeah.
Yeah, unless it's your wife, maybe that's okay if you're not ready to stuff that you don't want her to see.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, cool. Paul, you got anything else on this one?
It's not really a question. It's more like a an enlightened comment. So while the two of you were talking, I was kind of going through the site and I got to the section on starter templates and I was seeing like, okay, there's some here that I guess I expected because I did see the one about 3X structure about novels and screenplays. And I think you mentioned rom-coms and mysteries earlier, but also that it just gives a taste of what's available. And I think the one that really caught my eye, the Lester Dent formula. I mean, I know Lester Dent wrote the shadow pulp stories in the 30s and 40s. And so just to kind of have that there as a template to work with, I mean, for somebody like me, I love that kind of material. So just to have that there, it makes me want to say, okay, I got to see what else is in here. So loving the idea of like, I can combine that and a mystery story or that and a comedy. And just, it just seems like so much is, there's a lot more available than I was led to believe. I think that's the way to put it.
Well, you can combine templates, but you can also make your own. So I created one for me and I called it the Sleuth's Journey. It's the hero's journey adapted for mysteries, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now that's a starter template in Plotter because tons of people liked it. I didn't create it for them. I didn't create it so other people would like it, but I created it for me and other people do like it. So I just shared it with Plotter and now it's one of the starter templates that people use. So you can make your own templates. And then we actually have a community now that just opened up not long ago and you can share your templates with other people. So you could make a what you think is a great screenplay template and go, hey man, and you know some other screenwriters, you say, hey, this template's really useful, I think you'd like it, and just share it with them and they can use it too. So
that's great. Yeah, that's really great. That is a nice touch.
Are you able to upload, like say I take one and I download it and then I'm like fooling around inside of it but I wanted it back in Plotter, am I able to re-upload something that I've downloaded already, a timeline or
however you as far as downloaded, how?
Like if I export it to Word and then I'm in Word and I'm playing around, okay. I'm like, oh man, I wish that was back in Plotter right now. I don't want to have to copy and paste everything.
Yeah, you can import from Scrivener, but you cannot import from Word yet. And that's one of those programming things where they talk about Microsoft API and legacy coding and all this other stuff. And I guess for a lot of different programs, importing from Word is not a super easy process. So right now, we can't do that. And whenever I mention it, programmers' faces do that kind of meltdown thing they do.
Yeah.
And tears kind of start, things like that. So I try not to mention it too often. But yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, obviously, I would love to be able to import.
There with you. You
know, structure the headings correctly and import from Word somehow. But so far, an answer to that has not come from on high. So.
Okay. So the best way to do it is stay in there until you're ready to be out and then get out.
Yeah.
I ask that because I'm super anti-Scrivener. I'm the Mr. Anti-Scrivener. So.
Oh, cool. I like that. We should talk about that on an entirely separate episode. Yeah, but anyway.
Different mindsets, right? I like, for me, I want everything usually in like one document. Like I love how this exports into one big Word doc, and I think it even had headers and stuff on the left. Yes, it does.
It does.
So I always use the outline mode in Word to do my own outlining stuff. So this is, if it's all right there for me, then perfect. Nice.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and the navigation pane. And the only reason I don't write fiction in Word is because I do a lot of technical writing and editing in Word. So when I open Scrivener, my brain knows we're fiction writing because that's the only thing I do in that program. Psychological trick. But I am really liking the development of Atticus, and I'm really hopeful that if they continue on the right track, that may become an option.
Okay.
So we'll see. that, and that's another story. Obviously, Plotter may integrate with Atticus, but apart from that, I just talked to Dave last week when we were in 20 books, and there's some great stuff coming down with Atticus, and he has me convinced. I wasn't going to buy it until it was further along, and then I'm going to buy it this week. So anyway, that's
okay.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, we'll have to have him back on again sometime. I think we had him on here, right? Didn't we? Do you remember?
Because I was going to say, I've heard the program Atticus mentioned. I think that was mentioned a couple of times. And yeah, that sounds really familiar. I think we did have someone from there on.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, probably.
Yeah.
Dave's cool. Cool guy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, super nice guy. Yeah.
We're coming up towards the end of our time, but was there anything that we haven't asked you about that you want to make sure you share with us about this?
You know, no. I mean, I would just tell people, in my mind, just give Plotter a shot. If it doesn't work for you, I mean, it's kind of like you and Scrivener. If it doesn't work for you, hey, that's fine. But sometimes it's worth giving a shot. If you just are uncomfortable with your current writing and outlining process, or you think visually and you think maybe this is better than an Excel file or a cork board and a whiteboard or whatever, give it a shot. And if you have any questions, always ask. support@plotter.com is your friend. Because if they don't have the answers, like if whoever answers that email initially doesn't have the answers, they will come find one of us and find the answer. We will find an answer for you. And we're always developing new things. So just check it out and see how it works for you.
Awesome. There we go. Cool. And I'm going to play around with this myself. Hopefully not get too distracted. I think that's where I lose myself, as I go into all these different, look, a romance beat.
Ooh, yeah, it does seem like there are a lot of rabbit holes in this site.
Yeah, there are. And again, the plotcrastination thing. And the other thing I tell people that they do is recrastination, which is researchcrastination. Basically, I'm doing research for my novel just so I don't have to write it. So try not to do so much of the research and plotting that you don't actually write. That's my other advice.
Exactly. And that's so far, like I was saying, I've been using the other programs and finding myself very saving time from them. Like I made a whole outline for my next novel in like half an hour and it was looking good. And I'm like, this is the way to do it. So if I could get to the point where I'm doing that with this as well, and it just saves me like a week's worth of time, then hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, I can outline lightning in Plotter just because of the tools that it has, and I can see pairing it with an AI and getting yourself some real time advantages. So
I'm gonna tell you how that goes in a follow-up episode on our podcast probably.
Sounds fantastic, man. Have me back anytime you want.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, and where can people find you? And if they want to find your books or anything else you want them to find?
They can find me at troylambertwrites.com. Or I tell people, if you Google me and you haven't found me yet, your internet is down and you need to go resolve that or learn how to use Google. So just Google my name. I'll come up everywhere. And, you know, you'll find me at plotter.com. And then go to our YouTube channel. We had this really creative thing that we do called Thursdays with Troy. Episodes come out a lot of times on Thursdays, not always, and there's a guy named Troy that hosts them, so went way out there, but we have all kinds of great interviews and stuff there, so really a blast. Check that out too.
Yeah. All right, well, there we go, and thank you so much for coming on the show again.
All right, thank you guys, appreciate it.
Thanks. And once again, everybody, this has been the Creative Writing Life podcast. Leave reviews, tell your friends, it's always appreciated. You can find my books on Amazon, including a book on creative writing career and creative writing life, which are interviews with people like this.
And I'm Paul Zeidman. You can check out my screenwriting blog, MaximumZ.blog. I'm also on Twitter, as long as that's still around, @Maximum_Z. And you can also check out my books on Amazon, the Go Ahead and Ask series. Like you said, he's Justin. That's Troy. I'm Paul. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Stay healthy. This has been the Creative Writing Life podcast. So make sure now just go write something.